This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship. We now join the exciting teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick. Now, here's Pastor McKissick.
The pathway into his presence, I believe, verse 4 of Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 4. I believe properly understood and applied provides for us a roadmap or a GPS into the presence of God. Would you read that verse after me, please? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. And bless his name. You may recall that last Sunday I argued from scripture that the only place in the whole wide world that we can experience fullness of joy, let me hear you say fullness of joy, is in the presence of God. Ephesians 3, I believe about verse 20, somewhere along in there, says, Paul prayed that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you're filled with the fullness of God, that leaves no room for nothing else. When you're filled with all the fullness of God, there's no room for discouragement and doubt and defeat and depression. Because you're filled with all of God. The Bible commands us to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord. So inasmuch as that's the only place we find full joy. Everything else is just temporary happiness. It can be short-lived. You can regret it after it's over. Or even if you appreciate it, it's temporary. It's not eternal. And so the question becomes, how do I enter into and maintain an audience in the presence of God? Well, the Super Bowl was or is the second biggest event in town this week. I said the Super Bowl is the second biggest event in town this week. The snow, ice, and cold weather was the first big event. And I believe that's because God wanted to remind us, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Don't forget about me. Come closer. Pay attention. God wanted to remind us that he's bigger than the Super Bowl. And if he wanted to, he could shut down the Super Bowl. God wanted to remind us that he deserves more attention than Aaron Rodgers and Troy Longhair. What's his name? Calamari, what's his? God said, I deserve more attention than that. You know, I went to two or three prayer meetings in the Metroplex, so one in Mount Olive, another one at Agape, and been in some prayer meetings where and the Arlington Police Association that I'm a part of, they were telling us that every place the Super Bowl has gone, those towns were left with negative social statistics. All the strippers and prostitutes that come to town for the Super Bowl, some of them end up staying. So prostitution is usually worse after the Super Bowl than before. Homelessness. A lot of people come looking for temporary jobs or hoping to catch them. Homelessness is worse. At drug pushing and drug addiction. In every city, it's an immediate economic boom, but every city where the Super Bowl is gone has been left with some very negative social consequences. And so we begin to pray that somehow God would protect protect our city from increased social problems and sin. And I believe one way God answered the prayers was he just snowed us in. You couldn't get out of sin. I read on the internet where Prince was scheduled to host a Super Bowl party in Dallas this Friday night, and he didn't show up. Snoop Dogg was to host another Super Bowl party in Dallas Friday night, and he didn't show. Folk were paying $200, $300, $400, $500 to go to these parties. God said, come to my party. Come with our money, come with our price. And I tell you, if you come right, God will show up. The psalmist declared that God's presence and his joy is available to us if we follow his pathway into his presence. And before I pay $500 to be in a party with Snoop Dogg, especially one he doesn't show up at, I'd much rather enter into the presence of the Lord. The pathway into the presence of God is a heart of thanksgiving, a mouth filled with praise, and a soul and body yielded to God in worship. I said the pathway into his presence is, let me say, a heart of thanksgiving. I'm going to break that down and explain what's meant by that. It goes beyond just our usual concept or understanding of thanksgiving. It's a heart of thanksgiving. It's a mouth filled with praise. And it's a body and soul, mind and spirit that's yielded to God in worship. And that's when you're going to experience the presence of God. You see, praise build God's a house, but worship is God moving in the house because he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, I attended a preaching conference in Saddleback a few years ago. Rick Warren was hosting it in California, and he said too many preachers use academic outlines, you know. They just act like they're in the classroom. They don't even make a whole sentence. They just says, the place of the meeting. I got a sermon like that. The purpose of the meeting. He said, that's not a sentence. That's not a point. That's an academic outline. And I thought about that. I started to make my first point, how to enter into the presence of God. My first point was simply going to be, Thanksgiving trail. That's the first step. That Thanksgiving trail will get you into the gate. You still got to go into the outer court and the inner court. And some folk just get to the gate. So how do I enter into the presence of God? I'm going to give you a whole sentence. He says a point out to be a sentence, a statement, not just a word or two. So if my destination is the presence of God, the first road that I want to take is, Thanksgiving trail. I want to go into the presence of God. How do I get there? I enter into his gate with thanksgiving. The GPS says, go down Thanksgiving trail. This Hebrew word in verse 4 for thanksgiving is todah. Todah. Todah is praise rendered by acknowledging and abandoning sin. So to come into God's presence, I'm praising him by admitting, acknowledging, confessing the fact that I've sinned and I'm abandoning sin, because God said, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall wash them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I shall make them as wool. In other words, you will never get any closer to God than you repent and confess and forsake your sins. That's what Joshua 7 was all about, that sin can stand between us and God. And you're going to have a bad connection. I was talking to Pastor Michael Evans on the phone last night, and the phone kept going out. And he's supposed to have a man back there working with the sound team. I forgot to tell y'all treat the man right if it's somebody here from Bethlehem. Anybody back there from Bethlehem? Oh, there they are. Okay, God bless you. Yeah, I forgot to give them a stress. They treating y'all right back there? I promised the pastor y'all be treated right. And but the phone kept dying on us. We could hardly finish our conversation because he was in a room. He said I was low. He had to move to a higher room so we could get a better connection. And all I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes your connection with God is messed up because you're in a low room. You're in a low place. God said your sin separates you from me. And what we need is the presence of God. Some of us think if we could just get a $5,000 raise, we'd be all right. That will help. But more than the $5,000 raise, we need the presence of God. Somebody think if they just could get married or if they could get rid of the mate they got and get a new one, things would go better. That's not really what you need. What you really need is the presence of God. If I'm to enter into his presence, it's imperative that I come before him in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I must put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. I must put on the belt of truth. I have to be honest with God and have to be honest with myself about my sin. Sin short circuits and circumvents the presence of God in our lives. In Joshua 7:1, the children of Israel committed a trespass sin against God, and his anger burned against them. Turn back to Joshua 7 right quick. His anger turned against them. Could it be that God is angry with some of us? And maybe that's why some stuff in our life is just not right. Joshua sent spies out to, and when I was a boy, they called it AI. I guess they were right. I know it's got a hyphen or whatever you call it over the I. I guess you're supposed to pronounce it a long I. So we're going to call it AI, all right? Joshua sent spies out to AI, and they returned saying there are only a few people in AI, and we can easily take the city. Says, oh, it's an easy fight. We're going to win. I mean, you can tell I'm representing today. You can tell who I'm rooting for. I hope it'd be easy for Pittsburgh today. Man. John Washington invited me to an NFL affair the other day, Fritz Pollard. Y'all need to Google him. Amazing guy. They had a celebration in his honor. He's gone first Black coach in the history of the NFL, but Mike Tomlin come through there, and he seemed to be a good man. So I'm rooting for Pittsburgh today. Ain't no Pittsburgh fans in the house, all right. Joshua sent spies to Ai, and they returned saying there are only a few people in AI and we can easily take the city. Now Joshua sent only 3,000 men to conquer AI, but they fled before the men. They thought it was going to be an easy fight, but they got there and they got run out of AI. Some of us are losing at stuff we ought to be succeeding at. The men of Ai struck down 36 men of Israel. They whooped 36, destroyed them, and everybody else tucked tail and ran. And Israel, in verse 5, became discouraged. After the defeated Ai, Joshua fell on his face and prayed. He prayed. He said, Lord, what's going on here? How did we lose? I sent spies out, and they came back and said it's going to be an easy victory. But yet we lost. Lord, what's going on? Somebody need to ask the Lord what's going on in your life today. And here's what God said to Joshua. Said, get up. You praying, you need to get up. There's a time to pray, but there's also a time for war. Have I got a witness? He says, get up. And that's my message to somebody today. In verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, what? Get up. Somebody's downcast and weary-eyed, despondent, disillusioned, and discouraged. But somehow, some way, you made your way to God's house today, and he told me to tell you to what? Get up. This is not for everybody, but for somebody. God wants you to search your heart. Could it be that your defeat and failure is because of your sins? Could my, in the areas where I'm defeated in life, where I'm failing in life, could it be because of my sins? God told Joshua that what Israel's problem was sin. Simple as that. I know that's not popular to preach about today. But he says, your problem is sin. The Bible says if you do it not well, sin lies at your door. So don't stop blaming the Republicans. Stop blaming your mama. Stop blaming Obama. If you do it not well, sin lieth at the door. God said to Israel, because of your sins, you no longer have my presence. Look at verse 12b. The beast said, neither will I be with you anymore. God says, because of your sins, he says, the last sentence in 12, verse 12, he says, I won't be with you anymore. In other words, you won't have my presence. Unless you remove the sin, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. It could be that you got something in your house, in your car, that you're going to have to get rid of to get back into the presence of God. It could be you hold it on to some way up in the top part of the cabinet. Some hidden way back in the closet. Some magazine, some video, something you got going on up in there. Some old letters you want to go back and read sometime. Some phone numbers in your cell phone that don't need to be there. God says you got some stuff in your environment that you control that's going to cause me to leave from your presence. And the reason you lost the battle at Ai, Israel, is because you didn't have my presence. At Jericho, all you had to do is march around the wall 7 times and shout. That's all you had to do. And you won. Why? Because you had my presence. But at Ai, you lost because you didn't have my presence. God said to Israel, your defeat because of sin is an accursed thing in your midst. That's why you have to be careful about what goes on in your house. You have to be careful about what goes on in an environment that you control. God told Joshua to sanctify the people and call in every family and every man. Men, are you listening? Is there defeat in your house because there's something in your life that God wants to deal with? If we want to enter into the presence of God, we have to come before God and let him reveal to us our sins. It was revealed to Joshua that the sin was in the tribe of Judah, man by man, and Achan was finally identified as the one who had sinned and had taken the accursed thing. And then Joshua said to Achan, verse 19 of Joshua chapter 7, God said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make Torah to him. That word Torah there in verse 19 is translated confession. This Hebrew word, same Hebrew word as in Psalm 104, enter into his gates with Torah. There is translated thanksgiving. Here is translated confession. Same word, because Torah means confession. Torah can also mean sacrifice or extension of the hand. Torah also means praise. Because before, how many know, before you can get your praise on, you need to get your heart right. That's why you enter into his gates getting your heart right. You come into his presence in the Holy of Holies, entering by the blood of the Lamb. You got to go by the blood post, by the cross, and confess your sins and ask God to forgive your sins, claim his forgiveness, plead his blood. He says, give glory to God and make your todah, your confession. He combined praise with confession in this text. And every time you and I think about some of the things we have done and the fact we are still here, we're not in our grave or we're not in jail, somebody ought to give God a todah today, a thanksgiving. Somebody else did exactly what you did, and they got AIDS and you don't. Somebody else did exactly what you did and that marriage was wrecked and ruined and yours is not. Somebody else did exactly what you did and they lost that job and somehow, some way, by God's grace, you still own your job. Somebody else did what you did and they got pregnant and a venereal disease and you didn't. That's why none of us ought to look down our nose at the next somebody. But you ought to just give God praise for his grace today. And he says, now that you've been forgiven, go your way and sin no more. In order for Israel to re-enter into the presence of God, Achan had to todah, confess to God. Although Achan was stoned to death because Joshua told him, now whenever we figure out who's done this, the God of the Old Testament was much more a God of justice and wrath than the God of the New Testament. That's why we ought to be glad for Jesus. That's why the Hebrew writer said, we have a better covenant. Some of us would have been stoned to death for some of the stuff we've done. But we're living under a better covenant. Somebody praise God for the better covenant today. Achan was stoned to death because he took the accursed thing. He coveted it. He stole from the Babylonians. He loved the cloth that the accursed stuff was covered in. You know, the devil know how to make stuff look pretty. The devil know how to get your attention, amen? But victory came when God's presence was returned. You see, that lady caught in adultery in John 8, they were trying to be like the people in Joshua 7. They picked up stones and getting ready to throw rocks at the woman. Now, the charge was adultery. Isn't it interesting? That some sins you can commit by yourself, but other sins you can't commit by yourself. Isn't it interesting that she was charged with the adultery, but whoever she was committing adultery with, they weren't there. And they picked up stones and was getting ready to throw them at the woman and injure her and murder her. And Jesus, with the stones in her hand, he didn't say, oh, stop, don't do that. He just asked him a question. Those among you without sin. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you lie and you deceive yourself. But if you confess your sins, you can get into the presence of God. If you todah your sins, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He says, cast the first stone. And they waited. And the Bible says, beginning with the eldest, because the old folk got more sense than the young folk. Beginning with the elders, and while they were waiting, Jesus began to write in the sand. I like the way he kept his calm. We don't know what he was writing, but somebody said he could have been writing the names of those who she'd been sleeping with. Lord of us. So that old man got out of there first. This word todah, enter into his gates with todah, it not only means confession, but it means the extension of the hands. I talked about that last week. It, It also means thanksgiving or praise. We praise him for his mercy. We thank him for his grace. We thank him for his faithfulness. We thank him that he has not dealt with us according to our sins, but according to his mercy. Anybody glad today that he's not stoning us like they did in the Old Testament? Now, if we're to enter into the presence of God, we must first go to Tartar Boulevard and find Thanksgiving Trail and confess our sins, extend our hands in sacrifice and surrender, and verbalize our thanksgiving for his steadfast love and his mercy. In other words, praise is not praise unless the person that you're praising know that they're being praised. Some folks say, well, don't take all that. I ain't got to show nothing. Now, how do I know that I'm being praised if you don't tell me or show me somehow? Praise doesn't have an impact unless the person you're praising know that they're being praised. My beautiful wife walked in my office this morning looking like a Hollywood movie star. When she looks like that, I get a little scared. And she looked me square in the eye, and then she, oh, Lord. She was praising me. Lord have mercy. And then I told her, I got two or three watches, and none of them tell time. I use my cell phone to keep up with time, but. But then she pulled out a watch she just got me and fixed it to the, is it 10:30? Fixed it to the right time. Brand new watch she just gave me. She was praising me. I know I'm being praised. Have I got a witness? Somebody ought to kiss the sun right now. Somebody, the Bible says, kiss the sun lest he be angry. Somebody ought to express their adoration. Somebody ought to reach out their hand and says, God, I praise you. God, I thank you. God, I praise you for forgiving my sin. God, I thank you that you didn't let me die in my sins. God, I thank you that you covered me and protected me. I could have been dead and buried in my grave, but you made old death behave. God, I thank you that you have more grace than I have sin. I want to thank you where sin doth abound, grace even more so abound. I want to thank you that therefore there is now no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit of God. I want to thank you that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want to thank you that you sent your Son into the world not to condemn the world, not to stone the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want to thank you that he that hath the Son hath life. Oh God, I want to thank you for life in the Spirit. Lest I keep you too long. Now that just gets you into the gate. There's still an outer court and an inner court. Don't stop right there, amen. Tartar would take you through the gate. But there's a second Hebrew word. Let's go back to Psalms 100, verse 4. There's a second Hebrew word called Tehillah that takes you into the court. Enter into his gates with Tartar, thanksgiving, and into his courts with that Hebrew word there. Let me hear you say Tehillah. Sound like a Mexican beer, doesn't it? Enter into his gates with Tehillah. So we're fixing to move from the gate into the court. We're getting a little closer, amen? I'm trying to get us into the presence of God, amen, into the Holy of Holies, to the inner court. Right now, we're still on the outer court. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with tehillah. That word means a song or a hymn of praise. God said, if you want to move closer, now that you have confessed your sin, praise God by confession, you have offered sacrifices for sin, you've offered a thank offering for your sin. That's what Torah means. Now that you have praised God for his mercy on your life, in spite of your sins, God says, now sing me a song. I love you, Lord. That's making love to God, amen. And I lift my voice. God doesn't care how your voice sounds. He just said, God says, sing to me. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He says, tehillah me. To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. This is tehillah, right? God, here I come. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Now you just moved from the gate and you got a little closer. You just moved into the outer court. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with tehillah, with praise. I'm trying to get us into the presence of God. Somebody sitting up here now think you need a cocaine fix. It is not a cocaine fix you need. It's the presence of God. Somebody sit up here now trying to make up their mind, are they going to be holy tonight or are they going to be hoish tonight? It's not being hoish that you need. You need to be holy. What you need is the presence of God. Somebody trying to decide right now, are they going to be honest on their income tax or are they going to cheat on their income tax? You don't need to cheat on your tax. What you need is the presence of God. Some of us trying to decide if we're going to eat right or eat wrong this evening. God, give us your presence. Jesus told a group one day when they talked about food, Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. Jesus said, in other words, my satisfaction comes from the will of God. And God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. Come before his presence with Torah. Praise and thanksgiving is verbalized. After you thank God, after you Torah God, that's for what he's already done. That's gratitude. But then when you thank God before it happened, that's faith. And that's praising God on credit about what he's going to do. That's tehillah. Not only do I Torah thank him for what he has done, I also want a tehillah thank him for what he's going to do. I believe that blessings in my future, I thank him. I believe there's health in my future, I thank him. I believe there's wealth in my future, I thank him. I believe there's provision in my future, I thank him. I believe that his presence is in my future, I thank him. I believe I should be the head and not the tail. I'll be a lender and not a borrower. I'll be on top and not the bottom. I'll be blessed in my uprising. I'll be blessed in my down city. I'll be blessed in the country. I'll be blessed in the field. So God, I praise you. Praise you. from whom all blessings flow. You see, praise is not just singing about God. Tehillah is not just singing about God, it's singing to God. So long, many of us grew up in churches where they just sang about God. If you want to know the truth, a lot of times they sang about themselves. May the work I've done speak for me. I may not have reached perfection, but Lord, I've tried. Lord, I'm trying to make 199 and a half. Won't do. A lot of our songs dealt with I, my, and me. Use me, Lord, when you should have been praying, Lord, make me usable. Use me, Lord, in thy service. Those are the kind of songs we sang. But that's singing a testimony, a singing about God. But tehillah means I'm going to engage God. I'm going to sing to God. That changes the dynamics. Because you see, you become like what you worship. You miss that, didn't you? You become like who you worship. And if you sing to God, you'll become like God. You'll become godly. You'll take on God's characteristics, God's values. Every now and then I like to change the song from, oh, how I love Jesus. That's good. But I like to say, oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus, because you first love me. Make sure that you tehillah and not just sing about God, but sing to God. It's just some of the same songs you know. Instead of how great thou art, how great you are. I'm talking about right now, amen. I looked out of my backyard the other day and snow all in the back and snow in the front in Texas, 4-5 inches of snow. How great you are. How great. There is none like you. See, we sang it to him. No one else can touch my heart like you do. No one else. Your boyfriend can't do it. Your girlfriend can't do it. I've been searching for eternity long and find there is none. Why it's taking me so long to preach this. But that's tehillah, and it's based on the word halal. So we got down Thanksgiving trail, and then we move down Tehillah Parkway, and I'm prepared to do Barak. That's the next Hebrew word, but I don't want to rush it. I want us to get it. And next week, the Lord says the same. We're going to go into the Holy of Holies. We're going to go down Barak Boulevard. We're going to move from the gate into the outer court into the inner court. And that's where his presence is. We haven't gotten there yet. But come back next week. And then you need to go home and practice this every day. Because once you and I experience his presence, we're going to find it a lot easier to say no to the flesh. No to temptation. And we're going to be so high we can't get higher. Because in his presence, there is what? Stand on your feet. As we entered into the doors, I felt his presence. Y'all don't know that, do you? See, y'all need to learn these Tehillah songs. Come on, baby, grab your mic. Then I marry a beautiful woman. She's not only pretty, she can sing, she can educate. Now, as she sings, we need the presence of God. I'm here because I need power today not to overeat. You don't have to identify. Yours may be overeating, it may be sex, it may be cocaine, alcohol, but many of us got an issue. It may be just we're bored or depressed. But it's one thing to preach about his presence, it's another thing to practice and enter in. So if I wasn't so old and fat, I'd jump down, but I better walk down. But I want to get into his presence. Meet me at this altar if you want to enter into his presence. Sing, honey.
As I enter through the door, I sensed his presence. And I knew this was a place where love.
Been listening to the teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick from the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. To purchase this and other teachings from the pulpit library of Pastor Dwight McKissick, call 817-468-0083 or log on to cbcarlington.org, where you'll also find a link to our Facebook page where you can get daily encouragement and information. Once again, thanks for listening to Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship.